Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the provision which Thou hast made for us in Christ Jesus. Thou hast arranged to take us as we are and to change us and make us like Him, that we might be like Him when we are in Thy presence. We thank Thee for it. We pray Thee now, our Father, as we read and study Thy Word, that Thou wilt open the eyes of our hearts, that we might understand Thy Word and grow in it. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. As we're continuing in our study of the Gospel according to Matthew, we come now, after the story of the wedding feast, to an incident that happened just afterwards. This is in chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22, verses 11 to 14. It's such a short passage, that I will just read it to you. Matthew 22, verses 11 to 14. And this is what I read. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Now these words follow just after the parable of the wedding feast. And you will remember, at the time of the parable of the wedding feast, the gracious invitation that went out to all the world. All things are ready, come unto the marriage. And when those who had the opportunity to know these things, and were already included in them, those that had been bidden, failed to go because they didn't think it was important. You remember how the Lord had sent out His servants into the highways and byways, collecting everybody, and they brought them all, both good and bad, to bring them to the wedding feast. Now, this incident that we have here, I think, will be helped in your mind if you will accept this, which I understand to be true, this report of the customs of those days with reference to wedding feasts. I understand that the host would provide garments to be worn on that occasion, to provide, as it were, something that would be of a gay nature, clothing that would be bright and colorful, that would bear out the general theme of cheerfulness and of happiness at the time of the wedding feast. At any rate, I understand, because there would be many people invited that did not have a good suit of clothes, they did not have a wedding garment, there would be a case of providing for them. I suppose the nearest thing we have to anything like that in our day and time, we do know of such instances as some girl prepares a large church wedding and may on occasion provide the dresses for the bridesmaids. Or perhaps even the groom will rent the tuxedos to be worn by his attendants, by the ushers that are to be there that day. Now, suppose you had an arrangement like that, and all those who were to participate in the wedding had their costumes actually provided for them. Can you think of what a startling thing it would be if someone showed up, if some one of the girls showed up to be one of the bridesmaids, and she didn't wear a dress that was suitable for that, that had been suited for it? Or perhaps one of the ushers would show up and all the others wore tuxedo suits, but he didn't have, and he had been provided one, but he didn't put it on. Now, you keep on thinking about that. After all, this is a parable, and it's done for a purpose to tell it. What would come to your mind along that line? I remember one time I was invited to perform a marriage ceremony. And this particular family that was going to have the marriage ceremony wanted me to wear a white suit. Well, to tell the honest truth, I didn't have a white suit. And just for one marriage ceremony, I wasn't in a position as a minister to go out and get a white suit. And I appreciated very much that they told me that they wanted me to go down to a certain clothing shop and to be measured and to be fitted to a white suit. And so they provided me with a white suit for this occasion. That's the sort of thing we have here. This wedding garment undoubtedly would have been available and had been prepared. Now suppose after they provided the white suit for me, I went down to conduct that ceremony and didn't put the suit on. You see what would be implied in that? There would be a certain disrespect to the people who had provided it, a certain belittling of them. There would be a certain amount of a lack of appreciation of the people who were acting as my hosts. All of that's involved here. The king came to see the guests who were there to the wedding feast of his son. And he saw a man who was there without a wedding garment on. Whether this was wedding garment was provided or whether he was supposed to provide it himself is not primarily important. The main thing is the man came without one and as such was quite out of place. And he said unto him, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" Which is a way of saying, "Whatever gave you the nerve to come in here without being dressed up for the wedding? Whatever possessed you to come into this gala occasion and not dress properly for it?" That implies everything that you want to along the lines of disrespect, discourtesy, selfishness, self-satisfaction, anything you want to say. And when you've said it all, you look again and see what happens. This man was speechless. And then the Lord Jesus himself tells this part of it. "Bind him hand and foot and throw him out." And listen, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." It will be a big disappointment. It will really be a deep despair to the people that will have that happen to them. Now, the Lord Jesus told that. And what is he saying, in effect, to any one of us? He is saying that when we come to go before God, or we think we're going to share in the final results of the work of Jesus Christ upon earth, when God comes to look at us, he will look to see how we're clothed. Do we have the kind of clothing that's acceptable in his sight, or do we have our own? Now, the Bible over and over again speaks about the righteousness of the saints as fine linen. And I can tell you right now, the only way we'll ever have a fine linen suit of righteousness is when the Lord Jesus Christ himself provides it for us. You remember reading in the prophets, "All our righteousness is as filthy rags." And I see in here pretty plainly for me that the Lord Jesus is drawing attention to the fact that if anybody thinks to come to God in himself, in his own righteousness, depending on himself, he will draw from God this kind of response. "How did you come here? Whatever gave you the feeling you'd be acceptable coming in yourself?" And then there is this stern warning of the short shrift that will be given such a person. "Take him, bind him, throw him out." Why? Because he did not fully appreciate the importance of coming in there acceptably and worthily. And for a lesson for ourselves, I think that's the picture of a man coming who hasn't repented. A person who thinks he's good enough in himself. A person who is filled with conceit about himself. He thinks he's good enough. He's just as good as anybody else. And so he's going to come. When he comes in there, it isn't going to be a question whether he's as good as anybody else. The question is whether he's like the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he isn't like the Lord Jesus Christ, no. How will he be like the Lord Jesus Christ when he receives him? Because if he will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, one of the things the Lord Jesus does is cover us with his own righteousness so that we stand in the presence of God clothed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which will follow if I repent. If I judge myself as unworthy. I think this man being in there on his own, with his own clothing on, his own apparel, is a person who not only has had no repentance,
There has been no repudiation of self. He's still holding on to himself. There's been no turning to Christ. He has stood on his own feet. There's no coming through the door, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a special way in, which is his own. Such a person is the kind of person who would want to be saved apart from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have many people who want to actually arrive at the benefits and blessings of Christian living without accepting Jesus Christ as their own Savior in the real sense of the word. We have to think of them as people who, when they would read that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, faith, they would in themselves undertake to do those things. So they say that the fruit of the Spirit is love, so they'll try to put on an act of love. And they'll do what they think is loving other people. They got to do that to be saved, so they're going to try and love. Joy, and I won't describe the way in which they'll try to pretend that they have joy. Peace, long-suffering, and so on, all through those fruits of the Spirit. You can try to do those. And if you've been brought up in a Christian home, and you live among Christian people, and you're healthy and well and rather fortunate, you got some money, and you're fairly well educated, it's not hard for you to imitate those things. As a matter of fact, you can pretty easily imitate them, especially when you're around with Christians. And Christians are taught not to judge each other too closely, so you could get by with it. But you would never get by with God. I would never get by with God. You see, God will look right down into my heart. When he looks right down into my heart and I come there before him, the one thing he wants to know is, from where comes the disposition in you to do my will? Is that your own, or is it from the Holy Spirit of God? And here is a sober thing. If I try to get away with it, trying to come into the presence of God on my own, trying to be good myself, I'll run into the danger of being bound up as this man was and have the final fate, the total, complete, lasting doom upon me that I'll be thrown out from the presence of God. And the fact that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth would indicate it's not going to do me any good. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to humbly yield ourselves to Thee and look to the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. And if any one of us in listening today have not, by any chance, ever known what it is to have Jesus Christ as Savior, help such a person to come near to him and accept him, that they might be among the group who will be with the Lord when he comes. Our God and Heavenly Father, bless us. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.